Warning, this episode gives spoilers of a movie that's just come into the theater, so please download it, because it makes me happy to have download numbers, but, you know, you can listen later after you've seen the movie if you'd like, and it won't disappoint us at all. Now, on to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are... This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun. Gotta give him the credit, he's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got Brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes. Let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a Creepy Way. Welcome. This is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew. And tonight we're in a remote location right after seeing, well, Drew and I just got out of the theater from seeing John Wick 3. A movie that Jason and Jesse saw yesterday, right?
That is correct.
Man, what's the last movie any of us saw opening weekend?
Arctic.
Yes, Arctic. Arctic. Okay, you win.
Yeah, the last thing I saw, I'm sure the last several things I saw were kid movies.
Yeah, even those, I wouldn't go opening weekend.
I haven't seen a movie on Saturday night in forever.
It's been a long time since I've been on a Friday night premiere opening night of any kind of movie, so.
How was your theater? Was it pretty full?
We went to a 10:15 p.m. showing, and it was, and the theater's 21 and over only. So, it was probably 3/4 full.
Ours was probably pretty full.
Yeah. Yeah.
I checked seats before we got there, about a half an hour before we got there, and there was basically only the front row and a couple of ones and twos.
Well, that's pretty good.
So, but the theater was comfortable.
The movie was budgeted at, $55 million, and they've slated that the opening weekend is going to exceed $60 million in sales.
I bet. It was $60 million in fun.
It sure was.
So, Jason, since you saw it first... What's your initial reaction to John Wick 3, Parabellum?
Oh, it's exhausting. Good Lord. I was getting like concussion fatigue, and that was probably just the force of the sound system in the theater. But good Lord, the first like 20 minutes was just, I couldn't catch my breath. It was just this nonstop bullet porn, really. But it had some good melee, so it was something.
Where did you, where in the movie did you realize what kind of movie were you in for? Because I know the exact moment.
That never even entered my mind. I just completely just was along for the ride.
Drew, do you know what I'm talking about?
The fight in the weapon store.
Yes.
was pretty fun.
But right after that is when I said, oh, yeah, that's the fight around the horses.
Yes, using the horses as a weapon was amazing.
That was incredible.
In any other movie, I would have thought it was way too over the top for them to go back to that well two or three times, which they did. But I loved it. It was so great, I wanted to see it at least three times, and they delivered.
Yeah, but the CGI was a little hokey.
There was definitely CGI. What did Jesse think? What was his first impression? Is he available?
He's not available at the moment, but he liked it. He and I both agree it's better than the second movie.
I think so too, actually. I think the actors are better.
And it very clearly sets up the fourth movie.
Yeah, it does. And I was actually surprised that it didn't come to a conclusion of the story in this movie.
I was surprised by the chairman.
I actually, on the drive home, I was telling boyfriend Jesse that. He was like, oh my God, you're right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's who it was. I couldn't swear to it, but pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I was like 80% sure. And then, because I wanted to yell in the theater, "A la cuisine!" But I didn't want to be that guy.
That would have been the right theater to do it in, though.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad, though. It wasn't too rowdy or anything.
No, but yeah, there were definitely some oh, shits.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That is one fun thing about seeing it in a full theater. And people love Lawrence Fishburne.
The crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, at the end, people were so happy that he survived.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to kill him.
He appeared to. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, sure looked like he was dead.
What did you think of Halle Berry?
I really like Halle Berry, so it was nice to see her. She was pretty convincing, and the whole scene with them fighting it out together was pretty impressive. Luckily, they didn't kill the dog.
Yeah, I thought of you.
There was a fun nod to that. But yeah, Halle Berry was great. She was amazing, and unexpectedly, there were long stretches of action in that scene where it was just her.
Yes.
And maybe you could see John Wick in the background, but oftentimes not even then.
Yeah, she held her own. She was much better than Ruby Rose in part two.
It gave her some, gave him some relief to be able to have her take up the fight.
Most definitely.
But also, it was great to see Annette Bening.
Who is Annette Bening? You know, you mean Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston.
Yeah. That Annette Bening.
You know who I meant.
Yes.
But for the briefest of moments, I also thought, oh, that could be Sean Young. The Adjudicator could be Sean Young.
Yes. I know nothing about the Adjudicator.
She is a main character in the television show Billions.
Ah. She uses the they, them, their pronouns, just in case you were wondering.
Oh, the
Asia Kate Dillon.
The actor?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. They do that on the show. The character on the show Billions uses those pronouns.
Yeah. I'm only familiar with people stating their pronouns in terms of, I think, the McElroy brothers, when they're doing a show live. They have people state their name and their pronouns just so they don't screw something up.
Interesting.
They're very progressive.
No, see, where I work, we do that. We're supposed to declare that in all of our emails and when we open all our meetings.
Yeah, there you go.
Asia Kate Dillon played the Adjudicator.
Yes, she was great.
They were great.
They were, yeah, see, I did it too. Yeah, they were great. I thought all the actors were fun, and I think this movie was maybe the most tongue-in-cheek fun of the three of them.
Definitely. Yeah, Lance Reddick got in on the action, which is fun to see.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, no, just the funny stuff with the chairman was just hilarious.
He was in his own movie.
Yes, he was.
I mean, this is probably the most mainstream movie. He's in tons of like B and C straight to VOD movies.
I think the only thing I know him from is Brotherhood of the Wolf, right? Which is a period piece.
Was he in Brotherhood of the Wolf?
Yep. It's just like 18th century
Kung
Fu movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that movie.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, his fan worship was amusing.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, another fun thing about this movie is it really gave me some perspective on how tiny all the dudes from the Raid movies are.
Yeah, because there was those guys, that one guy especially, right?
The two guys.
Oh, they were both from the Raid?
Yeah, so there's the one, the homeless assassin dude.
Yes, I recognize him.
But the kitchen fight, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy, and it was the knives he used in this movie probably a nod to that?
Maybe. They were smaller, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are tiny standing next to Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is a tall guy. So I guess we're not going to necessarily go through the plot point by point, since I guess I could pull up a synopsis here.
We don't even need to. John Wick is on the run because he's been excommunicated.
it starts just minutes after the end of the previous movie.
Yeah, this is a trilogy that takes place over the course of like 3 days.
Yeah.
And he starts the movie looking rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on the run. The very first fight happens even before his time is up in the library.
Yeah, who was that guy? Was it like a basketball player or something?
I believe so.
Let's find out.
Boban. But I loved that they upped the ante with the world building. I mean, they brought in some of his what heritage is he? That wasn't Russian, right?
No, he said he was like Belarusian, right?
Yeah, Belarusian.
Boban Marjanovic was born in Serbia, I guess. And who does he play for in the NBA?
Oh, I don't know. Knicks?
76ers.
Okay.
At least according to the trivia. It says he's best buds with fellow 76er Tobias Harris. And he was best player in the Eastern Conference, apparently, at some point.
Like for a week?
Maybe, yeah. It's probably a low bar of entry to put trivia in the first week of a movie on IMDb, huh?
Probably.
Yeah, so the library fight was fun. Nod to books and stuff, although I get confused with the Bourne action scenes now.
Oh, I was good. Jason, do you remember any of the previews from when you saw the movie? I guess specifically, did you see a preview for a movie called Anna, or more likely Anna?
Anna, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that just this movie?
Yeah.
I was offended by that preview for a couple of reasons. One, it looked like a John Wick ripoff with a lady.
Yes.
But the other is, it's a Luc Besson movie, and they pretty much listed all of his credits except Fifth Element.
Yeah. Just ridiculous.
Did you also get to experience the newer Hobbs and Shaw trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Because I could spend the rest of this podcast just talking about that.
I can't. They have a fight with Hawaiian weapons.
Are they Hawaiian?
Or I mean, some kind of Polynesian?
I don't want to be racist. But. Ah,
there you go. Well, they, them.
I thought it was Thai.
I don't think he's Thai. I think he's Polynesian or something.
I think he said they were. Anyway, I wasn't paying full attention, clearly. No, but except that they, in the trailer itself, goes to the same level of stupid farce that the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 went through.
This is a bad thing?
Well, I don't appreciate it. I think when you start going to that level of farce, then it's like I don't want that kind of movie. If I wanted that kind of movie, I would go watch American Pie.
So is Guardians of the Galaxy 2 not that kind of movie?
It is. It is.
I was going to say, I would hope that it's the kind of movie that trailer portrays. Because if it's a serious, like, thinker kind of movie, it's going for the wrong audience in that last trailer.
No, I'm just saying, if I'm going to go see it, I want it to be less farcy and a little more action-y. And that there's a little bit of fun. Like John Wick 3 was fine. A little bit of it was fine. But you get to the point where it's too much, and then it just becomes ridiculous.
It's a choice, I think, with what you give away in the trailer, right?
Yeah.
Because if you give away your big action pieces,
I suspect most of what's in the trailer is a bulk of the entire movie.
Maybe we'll see.
Well, you will see. I will not.
Oh, you might get guilted into it. When does it come out?
A few weeks.
Will you be here? It'll be out when you're here. We can all go together.
So back to John Wick 3. Yeah.
You two and boyfriend Jesse will have a great time.
Ah, you'll come along with us. I know, you'll come around.
Remember, I didn't pick up my own tux for Aaron's wedding, so.
We'll pick up your tux for the movie. It'll be fine. You want a vest or a cummerbund?
You should totally go in tuxes.
I want a Benedict Cumberbund.
There you go. Nice.
It doesn't come out till August. You're off the hook.
Oh, that's too bad. So, yeah. So then we have the fight in the weapon store, which is pretty great. We've got the horse fight. It's bizarre. Lots of motorcycles. Kind of fun. It actually
he had to shoot the doctor at some point. I think that was before the weapon store, right?
I thought it was after the weapon store because he got injured in the weapon store. Right?
He got injured by Bulban in the library.
Oh, okay. See, I'm 15 minutes out of a movie or half an hour of a movie and I still need to go to the synopsis.
Yeah. So, yeah, shooting the doctor was...
That was fun.
A bit of comedy. To lighten the mood right before he throws 30 knives into one body.
Yes. And they had those long shots where they got through the guy, axe at the guy's head.
Yeah.
And they had all sorts of fun angles. It was good.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love the scene in at the subway station where the group of kids walks through.
Oh, yep.
So the chairman and John are going to face off and the group of kids walks through holding hands because that's what groups of kids do. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
When the Halle Berry scene first started, I was worried because if it was going to be a lot of like relationship drama, I would be like, oh, no, we can't have this. But luckily, that didn't last very long at all.
Jason, did your audience cheer when she said, he shot my dog? And John Wick said, I get it.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a great moment. That was it was nice to see that the filmmakers understood that nobody was really down for another dog killing.
Oh yeah, and the dogs got a lot of play. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, no, they held their own.
At the end of the set though, that set piece, I could tell it's like, oh, this is just set up like an agility course, actually.
It really was.
Like those little stair things were like, oh, this is a little on the nose, but still fun.
Yes. Lots of ramps.
Yeah. But no, I thought the fight choreography was great. I thought maybe the fights got a little long toward the end, but they were always interesting.
There was a lot of gratuitous glass breaking towards the end.
Yeah.
That got a little ridiculous. Also because they had that same kind of mirror hall glass scene in the second movie.
And instead of all the bearded guys, it was a bunch of Asian guys instead.
Yeah, I thought it actually ran the full cycle. It was cool, and then it got ridiculous, and then they kept doing it so long, it was hilarious.
Yeah, and they were throwing each other through those things on purpose, those little glass cases with the skulls in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Jason, I thought of you when they ran over John Wick with a car twice in a row.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you think of me?
It was actually me that made the comment last time. Yeah.
Well, sorry, I still thought of you, Jason.
Yeah.
So why did you think of me when he got hit by a car?
My memory was that you were the one that commented on how many times he got hit by a car in John Wick 2.
Yeah, no, that was me. And I said that he never would have even stood up after the first time he was hit.
Well, and also, how do you not hear them coming? And how are you not... He's hypervigilant of attackers that are around the corner, but he can't hear a car engine coming?
Cars are really quiet nowadays. Maybe they were Teslas.
Also, he was very distracted. There was a bunch of stuff going on in his life.
Yeah, he just murdered four people with horse kicks.
So funny. The horse kicks. Yeah, and I think actually you're right. I think that was another thing that was like, oh my god, hilarious. Oh, they did it again. Oh, it's hilarious again. And then as I there were some weird like music stings. Like I think when they played like Indiana Jones kind of music when he was on the horse.
I didn't even catch that.
At the end, when they had the fight with the chairman, there was these like almost like gunfighter stings just before they would face off, which I thought was pretty hilarious. There wasn't enough techno music. You didn't go gratuitously to a disco.
They had goth ballet, though.
Yeah, but still.
Well, I don't know. It was... it was nice to it was nice that they didn't kill Winston.
Yeah, I thought they that story twist at the end was kind of fun. I did not see that coming.
Oh, but it also had some very Matrix-y moments, though.
The ballet dancer, she had the same back tattoo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe all of the Belarusians did.
Yeah, so that was assassin training by way of ballet and judo, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's what that was all about.
Yep.
Yeah, I love, that was really interesting world building, I thought. Yeah.
And what did she say? Art should hurt you or something like that?
Yeah, art is pain.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Her payment was pretty, that was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, when I saw that little cross thing in the opening credits, I'm like, oh, here's another piece we're going to get. Like, we got the big marker on the second movie in the opening credits.
But I meant when she got the adjudicator paying her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of brutal. Although, again, I think Larry got the worst of the deals. Not quite as bad as I thought initially, but still. I love to see Jason Mantzoukas, but the fact that he had like four lines in the movie made me a little sad. But I can't really see him busting out his karate moves.
I really hope that there are some deleted scenes with him.
I hope so too.
There's certainly going to be gag reel stuff.
I hope so.
Eric, we were walking out of the movie and you were asking what song was playing over the end credits. Was it a Bush song?
Maybe so.
Bullet Holes by Bush.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that's it. It just sounded so, the singer sounded so familiar. So that makes sense.
The first song in the credits on IMDb, so it must be true, is Take You Back by Frank Stallone.
Oh, yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh. I do not remember that. I don't even know when that would have been playing.
I love it. Have you guys heard? Actually, I have two podcast things, but maybe I can wait till we sum up, unless we're ready to sum up.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we haven't really touched on is, what did you think of the desert scene?
Well, so it was a little hinky. I liked it up until the point where she left him. And then it was like, well, you took him this far. Like, what's the problem?
No, that was funny. That was hilarious.
She's so mean.
Yeah, she couldn't go all the way with him. But, oh, I love it. That whole thing with the bottle of water was so funny.
But then the whole finger thing was like, all right. I don't, like, whatever.
Yeah, couldn't he have just taken the ring off?
Yeah.
I like that everybody automatically knows all of the rules of this world.
Yeah, like this is like they do this weekly.
Yeah, I mean, they put a chisel down in front of him. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, and he can't use a chisel and a mallet if he's only going to cut off one of his own fingers.
Yep.
So, gotta power through, man. I didn't realize that when he had changed into a white shirt, he was no longer a part of, he was excommunicado, and then he had to go back to the black shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's standard movie coding, right?
I think so, something like that. I was a little, just to spoil everything, at the end, when they throw him out, when you shoot him and he falls off the building, I was sure that Winston and Charon were kind of in on it, like maybe they knew he had like the magic blazer on.
Yeah, I was assuming John Wick was in on it, too.
Yeah.
Turns out he was not.
Maybe not, yeah.
So. Well, but I think probably from everybody's point of view, and he probably will realize that the fact that he was unaware that that was going to happen was probably to everybody's benefit. Because if he believed that they were really, you know, trying to kill him, even though that they weren't, then it looked real. And convincing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they can spin it for the fifth movie, since we know the fourth is going to be a throw. Although they can't do that. They could do a whole TV series, though, on the impossible mission.
The impossible task from before the first movie. Yeah. Oh, another big cheer was the first time they broke out the armor-piercing shotgun rounds.
Yes. And they blew the first guy's head off.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Was it a direct nod to Matrix when he was asking for provisions and Winston asked him what does he need? And he goes, guns. A whole lot of guns. Isn't there a scene like that in The Matrix?
Oh, yeah. There's a loading scene where he ends up in a
like a never-ending
endless room of guns. Yeah. I didn't make a Matrix connection. Although, that does seem to be John Wick 4, right? The reunion of Neo and Morpheus.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a Matrix crossover where it's John Wick Matrix.
Yeah, does John Wick live in the Matrix universe? We don't know.
Maybe.
That would explain quite a bit. And clearly there are civilians in the world. Not everybody is an assassin. If only the one guy I noticed was the guy in the chandelier store. The lighting gallery guy when all the ninjas ran through.
Yeah, but it's like 80-20 assassins to civilians.
I think so, yes. Yeah, when even the cab drivers are assassins, you're like, oh, did you see the trailer for Stuber? Kumail Nanjiani and what is it, Dave Bautista, or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they show that, Jason?
Didn't see that.
Kumail Nanjiani plays an Uber driver on like his first week or day, maybe. And it's called Stuber, so you know, like it's gonna be bad, but funny maybe.
Probably.
Was also Kumail Nanjiani one of the head alien guys in Men in Black 4 or whatever it is?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I was thinking he was the voice of that guy. Men and Women in Black or whatever it's called. I haven't seen trailers in a long time unless you guys have
forced you to watch them.
Exactly, yeah. Men in Black International.
Chris Hemsworth, man.
Yep, Kumail Nanjiani is the
that guy can voice do anything. Of that guy.
Yeah, and Liam Neeson is just Charles Bronson now, right? Like, all of his movies are just Taken movies.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, like probably.
Cold Chase or whatever the next one is. Cold Ground, Cold something or other.
Oh, yeah, that one is already out. You haven't seen Widows, right?
No, it's on my list, though. Is he in that, too?
Yeah.
God. Does he have a particular set of skills?
Most definitely.
Okay, yeah. That's funny stuff. Well, he can pull it off. He's come a long way since Darkman. Have you seen that recently?
No. He's come a long way since Leap of Faith.
Well, there, that too, yeah.
Chickapee.
They need to say Liam. That's very nice. They have they should have a Liam Neeson, Steve Martin buddy movie. But, you know, the last couple buddy movies or comedy movies Steve Martin has been in have not been very great.
He was in a great buddy movie with Tim Roth and Brian Cox called Rob Roy.
Are we ready for verdict time? Any notes, Jason?
I didn't take any notes because there was no way to take notes. I was actually at one point in the theater, the shotgun percussion was so immense in the movie theater that the creases in my jeans were flapping back and forth.
This is the second movie I've seen in the theater in 2 weeks, which is crazy for me. The one I saw last week was in just a normal theater. We saw John Wick 3 in like an XD theater with the THX super sound, and it was a huge difference. Yeah, you could feel our chairs rattling.
Yeah, it's great. Loved it.
So loud. Made me feel super old.
It was a really loud movie.
It's great, though. And I think Drew's right, because Drew saw John Wick 2 in the theater. Mm-hmm. And it really does enhance the experience of an action movie like that to see it in the theater. I mean, I watch most of my movies now on a very small screen, but close up to my face, right? But that doesn't quite match being in the actual theater. Plus, you know, crowd does sometimes improve things.
Yeah, when they're not being assholes, it's fun.
Yeah. Was anybody eating next to you, Drew?
No, but that MF-er was sniffing for the entire last half hour of the movie.
Poor guy. Oh my god, that could have been me, but luckily it wasn't.
Oh, see, because we had this fucking couple that came in late, by the way, then ordered food because the waiters will serve you food about, I don't know, 10 minutes into the movie, which is another thing that pisses me off. And then they were like, and it was hot, like hot dogs and hamburgers with like this relish and jalapenos. And then they were sharing it. They're like, oh, do you want to bite of this? Oh, do you want to bite of that? And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
I did so want to get to the movie theater early and get a thing of nachos just to see Drew's reaction, but it wasn't quite worth it to buy $15 nachos that I wouldn't eat.
Just have me walk in and be like, no, no, no. I'm buying another ticket on the other side of the theater.
That's so, yeah. No.
Or did you guys also get assigned seats?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think in Anchorage now, there are very few theaters that don't have assigned seats.
Yeah, I'm still mad about the seating chart. I mean, our seats were fine and near the aisle, which is it's okay. I actually didn't need to take a pee break, so that was good. But yeah, it wasn't quite what I expected.
Yeah, but it was actually better than I expected. I was concerned there'd be like a rail in front of us or something crazy. Oh. But we were in a big theater, actually.
Yeah.
So it was nice. And because now they have all that luxury lounging, whatever, luxury loungers, the space in front of you is nice and big. So if I did have to crawl out and pee, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But luckily, didn't have to do that. So
we had little
separate footstool settees that you can move in front of you.
Oh, that's fancy.
We have heated seats, which is great for the winter. It's not so great in the spring and summer, especially when you don't realize that your seat heater is on until like after the first preview.
Or you have a spouse that thinks it's funny to turn it on.
Well,
yeah. Not tell you.
My seat was reclined back like just one tiny little thing. So I felt like mom because my feet couldn't hit the floor. And I was trying to rummage around to find the buttons or just to actually just sit up in the seat. But because there was a guy next to me on the other side, Drew on one side and this other guy on the other side, it's like, well, I'm already taking up a lot of space. I don't want to actually put my elbow like on his shoulder. So
you made it through like a trooper.
It was great. Yeah. Everybody staggered their arms like we were on a plane together. It was great. So I love the experience. Thank you very much, Drew.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for indulging me with this crazy notion of actually going to see a movie in a theater. Roughly together.
Well, yeah. Luckily, I will give this an A, so it was an A movie, so I was happy to not be disappointed by it. And I will cautiously look forward to the fourth one.
Excellent. Okay, it's a date then. So, okay, so your judgment is A.
Correct.
Based strictly on the theater experience, you think?
No, I don't. Not solely on the theater experience. I'm sure it was enhanced a little bit. Also, the fact that I wasn't busy taking notes, I was probably a little less critical because I was a little less focused on note-taking and I was a little more in the experience.
Yeah, I forget that I like watching movies in the theater. It's not always very convenient, but I think it adds to the experience.
Well, I can't afford to go all the time, for God's sake, but...
No, I'd have to, if I had more time, like if I was in my retirement time, I'd have to buy one of those passes where you get like at least one free movie a week or a free movie a month rather, and discounts, because otherwise, yeah. Because this is probably like $20 a ticket, right? When you add like fees?
Mine was, I was like $14.
$17, $18.
That $18 a ticket is a lot of money if you're doing it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to do the math of that of the subscription service for the Cinemark I was like, oh, you get one free movie a month. I don't know what kind of restrictions they have. But also I thought, there's no way I could see 12 movies in 1 year in the theater, let alone one movie a month.
I don't know if it was a free one, if you felt obligated, right? Because you already prepaid for it.
Yeah.
I don't know what those deals are. I know MoviePass has already gone bankrupt probably, right?
It might still be limping around.
That was a crazy idea. Do you know how MoviePass worked, Jason?
I did at one point.
Yeah, you basically got a debit card to buy a movie, and MoviePass reimbursed you for it. Or they put money on your debit card, and the theaters were not having it.
I think that may have been created by the makers of the Fyre Festival.
Oh, man. It was bad. So, Drew, was it worth it? Just to skip running?
It was absolutely worth it. It was really fun to see it in the theater. It was awesome to see a movie with my brothers. I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, it was fun. I do think movies like this are enhanced by seeing it in the theater. And this was a pretty good theater experience all around. So definitely worth it. I will certainly be watching it again when it comes out on video. But it was a good movie. I mean, on top of just the experience, it was good.
Yeah.
They upped the ante. They were creative. They gave you a new perspective on things. And they kept it moving the whole time. It was really well paced. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah. No, they gave me exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And more. I mean, that's, you know, it was easily as good as either the other two ones. Certainly the second one. And the second one was plenty fun. So, yeah, this was a fun movie. It was great.
And it had a lot more star power.
Yeah. Oh, and they did, like, the ultimate action movie move. They said the name of the title in the movie.
They did, yes. Yeah.
That's how you know they've gone to another level.
So, well, that's to explain it to the audience.
Well, yeah, that's okay. I'm the audience. It didn't hurt. Do we have time for a tiny bit of housekeeping?
Yeah.
Jason, did you suggest I watch or listen to the podcast Red Handed? Have you heard the podcast Red Handed?
No.
It's a true crime podcast, but it's fun. It's not quite as self-congratulatory as My Favorite Murder, but it's as well researched as Last Podcast on the Left, but without being like bro. It's just two ladies, but it's great. And another podcast I've been listening to is In Voorhees We Trust with Gourley and Rust, the Friday the 13th podcast, where Matt Gourley and Paul Rust are talking about the Friday the 13th movies.
Is that why you're going through all of them?
It is. Yeah, I've been through all of them. I think they've put out through part 8 now. Actually, it was available like on, I think, Stitcher Premium or whatever, 6 months early. But now it's regular for free. And if you don't have any interest in the Friday the 13th movies, you won't probably like the podcast. But somebody described it to them as an easy listening podcast, which I think is kind of what we end up doing quite a bit, where we're talking about the movies, but, you know, we take the tangents and we're goofy and say silly jokes and stuff. So maybe this is part of our charm. They are very goofy and a lot of their jokes don't work. And then they laugh at themselves for jokes that don't work. And I think the podcast on Friday the 13th part 8 was like 2.5 or 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Oh, that's like two movies.
Yes, yes.
Two Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, and silly, but, you know, fun. Plus, they liked that movie because of nostalgia, and I thought that was like the worst of the series. But anyway, yeah, so that's a little bit of housekeeping we'll throw in at the end. Any housekeeping for you, Jay?
No.
Since we talked like 3 days ago. So, Drew, any housekeeping?
You mean 2 days ago?
2 days ago, there we go.
In a very John Wick adjacent way. I got a dog.
Oh, you got a dog and a almost crippling injury. Same week.
Yeah, that's true. I did. I am of service.
Yes, you'll continue to serve.
We'll continue to serve. Yeah. It doesn't look nearly as gruesome today as it did yesterday. But
tell the story. For all the listeners, Dougie, here's a story for you.
Little peek inside the curtain. One of my habits after we record on Thursday evenings is to catch up on some of the chores around the house. So it's late at night, and I usually end up doing some dishes after we get off, after we wrap up the movie. And I was particularly tired after we last recorded. I think it was the Bourne Ultimatum.
Mm-hmm. And there was thunder and lightning outside?
Yes. It never rained in my house.
Oh, my God. It was torrential in my house.
It never rained. Yeah, I was doing dishes, and I was in a hurry, and I was tired. And I was hand-washing some of our kitchen knives, and I wasn't really paying attention.
As you should.
Right? And I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing, and I got too far up on it, and you know, doing the back and forth scrubbing motion, and I got too far up on the point, and when I went back down too fast, I actually stabbed the knife into the fleshy part of my hand, my palm underneath the pinky. I'm showing it to
it's like
Eric.
Halfway down between the bottom of the pinky and the wrist.
Yeah, the wound on the outside is probably, I don't know, quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
Quarter inch, half an inch, but it was one of those things where it happened and I thought, oh, ow, but nothing didn't hurt that much at first and nothing really happened. So I was like, oh, that's going to leave a mark. Ha ha. Yeah. And then I continued to try and, do some more cleaning. And that's when I noticed that the suds in my sink were turning pink. And then I looked down again, and it was gushing blood. It was actually very cinematic. It was like one of those wounds in the movies where, the blood stops until it moves, and then it gushes again.
Oh.
So it would, kind of close up enough that it wouldn't bleed, and then every time I moved my finger, it would gush again. So I tried a variety of ways to keep it closed, so I eventually landed on super glue. But yeah, I didn't finish the dishes that night.
But you have full mobility now?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's super sore, but I think I'll be fine.
And then you got a dog, so tell us about the dog.
Yeah, got a dog. We actually got the dog a couple weeks ago, but then we sent that dog to training camp, and we picked him up today. And so far, he's great. The lady who did the camp was giving us some good training on leash etiquette and how to walk, and he's good. We were particularly worried about that because our last dog, Alice, rest in peace. She was awesome. We loved her, but she was a terror to walk. Mom and Dad took ownership of her for her last few years, and I don't know how Mom walked her as much as she did because she pulled, she lunged at anything
she
that
stopped.
Passed by. Yeah, yeah. She was difficult to handle, and that was exactly what we're trying to avoid with this next dog. So he's about 5 months old, but he's already good. He listens. He's not aggressive. So as long as we keep up with the training, I think it'll be a very positive experience for everybody involved.
Well, that's what we want to do with the next dog. Can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to realize, I think, realize your own shortcomings. And we know we don't have the time, patience, or capability to do that sort of intensive training for a puppy. So we knew we either needed to get an older dog who was already trained or set him up for success with a training camp.
How'd you end up with this particular dog? Because this dog came from Colorado, right?
Yeah. So my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, she has raised a bunch of dogs. She loves dogs. She has a couple, and she's had several over her life as an adult. And when my wife mentioned to her that we were starting to think about getting another dog around the house, she took that on as a project and started looking for dogs around her neck of the woods, which is great because she knows way more about dogs than we do. and she found one that kind of checked all the boxes, and she offered to pick them up for us and do some of the initial like crate training and housebreaking, which again is great because we don't know how to do any of that.
Perfect. Yeah.
So she had them for a few weeks and then she shipped them up for us. And she did a great job. Even the trainer said that she didn't have to do much with the potty training or the crate training because he was already there. So yeah, other people doing all the hard work for us. It's exactly, perfect. What, it's yeah, exactly what we need.
That's what I want in most of my life.
Yeah, that's all the housekeeping I have. Yeah.
So final thoughts, Brother Jay?
No. I'm good.
Thank you for being available at late hours your time.
Yeah, thanks for letting us ambush you.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's nearly bedtime, so it's fine. Much later would have been much worse, so, but this is a good.
Cool. Well, thank you again.
I mean, we didn't get home last night until it was late. It was late, because the movie started at like 10:30, and it was 2:10, so I don't think we got home until after 1 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. You were actually texting us during the movie we were watching.
So, yeah, cool. Hey, and we proved that we can take this show on the road a little bit. I hope it sounds as good as I think it's going to sound. So this is the first trial of the Zoom.
We proved that we could see a contemporary movie and talk about it.
Yeah. So thank everybody for their indulgences and, and next
this
week,
may be the first movie we've discussed within a day of an opening.
For sure.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.